All right, everybody, this is the Ramblings of a Transgender Christian. I am your host, Anna Hudak. So, I was going to come on here and talk about asexuality, how reactionaries are using asexuality to target trans liberation, but and also using trans, using trans people, the existence of transness to attack asexuals. I was going to kind of talk about the intersection of these and, where this comes from and everything like that. But unfortunately, more pressing matters have come. So I am recording this on May 3rd, Tuesday, May 3rd of 2022. It is, 9:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And about 12 hours ago, something leaked on Politico. Just a small little thing where apparently the Supreme Court has decided to overturn Roe v. Wade. For those who don't know what that is, especially because I know I have a pretty large international audience, it is basically highly oversimplifying it, because overturning Roe v. Wade would ensure that that abortion would be criminalized again. At least in Republican-run states. Basically, it'd be perfectly okay to criminalize abortion again. And this is what the Supreme Court has decided. What was leaked was a draft of Justice Alito's majority opinion to overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm not gonna get mad and yell at on here, because frankly, it's not going to do any good. The only thing that will do any good is revolutionary action. No amount of voting will save us. Only revolutionary action. If you want things to change, well, you better get okay very quickly with revolutionary action. Just saying. That's the only thing that's going to change anything at this point. I'm just going to read a few things from this opinion. The inescapable conclusion is that a right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. This was a sentence written in this opinion, in the majority opinion. So in other words, Alito is straight out saying that if you did not have rights when this country was founded, you shouldn't have rights, period. Understand what this nation's history and traditions are. This nation's history and traditions are slavery and genocide. It is enslaving black people. It is ensuring that black people are literally seen as subhuman. Remember the Fifford's Compromise, anyone? It was in the very first article of the Constitution. This is not even an amendment. No. This was the first article of the Constitution, was that black people are subhuman for only three-fifths of a human. It is the most fundamental, like, literally, the most fundamental thing. One of the most fundamental aspects of our nation, according to the Constitution. The Constitution views black people as being subhuman, as so fundamental to this country. It was in the first article. Killing natives, just genociding them out of existence, that is fundamental to this nation. Women having no rights is fundamental to this nation. Gay people having no rights, it's fundamental to this nation. Alito is straight up saying, if it's not fundamental to this nation, it shouldn't exist. The fact that women had no rights is the correct position, because that is how things were when this nation was founded. The fact that women had no rights when the Constitution was originally written means women should never have rights. Understand what's being said here. We hold, another point, he says, we hold that Roe and Casey must be overturned. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision. In other words, the Constitution should never be amended, and therefore, you know, rights mean nothing if it wasn't originally written into the Constitution. Let's see. In some states, voters may believe that the abortion right may be even more extensive than Casey and Roe recognized. Voters in other states may wish to impose tight restrictions based on their belief that abortion destroys an unborn human being. Our nation's historical understanding of ordered liberty does not prevent people's elected representatives from deciding how abortion should be regulated. In other words, liberation should not exist. If some people in this country believe that other people should not have rights, then that is perfectly okay. If reactionaries believe that women should not have rights, well then, women just straight up shouldn't have rights. It's fucking terrible. Casey described itself. What was Casey anyway? Let me make sure I got Casey correctly. Casey Supreme Court case. What was Casey? Okay. So Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So basically, it was just further cementing of the right to have an abortion. So basically, together, Roe and Casey represent an error that cannot be allowed to stand. The right to abortion is an error that cannot be allowed to stand. And then the kicker is at the end. He writes, we do not pretend to know how our political system or society will respond to today's decision overruling Roe and Casey. Bullshit. These motherfuckers aren't stupid. They know exactly what's going to happen. And even if we could foresee what will happen, we would have no authority to let that knowledge influence our decision. Bullshit. You're just fucking lying. This is just a bold-faced lie. You know exactly, and you're doing it for the civic reasoning of letting that happen. You fucking little liar. We can only do our job, which is to interpret the law, apply long-standing principles of stare decisis. I have no idea how to pronounce it, no idea what the fuck that means, then decide this case accordingly. Bullshit. Fucking bullshit. We therefore hold that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Bullshit. Roe and Casey must be overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representatives. Bullshit, bullshit, and more bullshit. But it doesn't end there, no, my friends. I can't find the exact quote, but they directly state that, you know, Obergefell, which is the right to get married, gay marriage, that is, they directly say that gay marriage must be overturned. I can't find the exact quote, unfortunately. I thought I saved it, but apparently I did not. But they basically directly say that gay marriage must be overturned as well. So, yeah. Queer rights are falling as well. I am not going to commentate. I'm just going to just quote these two quotes that have absolutely nothing to do with my opinion on this Supreme Court decision. Okay? Just remember, FBI and CIA listening into this. These two quotes have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with my opinion on the Supreme Court decision. The woman was degraded and reversed to servitude. She became the slave of his lust and a mere instrument for the production of children. Quote number two. I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away, but with blood. Once again, FBI and CIA, those are just completely unrelated quotes. They have nothing to do whatsoever with my opinion on this Supreme Court decision. Let us move on. Let us get into the Gender Accelerationist Manifesto for this week. And let me switch to... So, this week, if you're following along on the PDF, we're on page 8. We are starting, the section is Communism, the subsection is the Communist Movement. So let's get started. But now we must speak of communism to understand how gender relates to the rest of society. For that, we must know what communism is. We call communism the real movement which abolishes the present state of things. The conditions of its movement result from premises now in existence. Karl Marx, the German ideology. Damn, I think I'm getting hiccups now. Communism conceived in this way is a movement against the present social order, one seeking the liberation of those oppressed. I am fucking exhausted. Like, I got almost no sleep last night. Like, the Supreme Court thing just stressed me out too much to sleep. Anyway, this should not be seen as an ideal we strive for, but a real active movement that exists in the present day. We don't find communism in plans for the future, but rather in a worker sabotaging his workplace, a wife who escapes from her abusive husband with her children, Naxalites engaging in guerrilla warfare against the Indian government, rioters rejecting the police to loot and burn their cities, etc. In other words, what is communism? Communism is the abolishment of the current state, is our current bourgeoisie order. It is against the current state of oppression of the proletariat, whatever, you know, including our, you know, female comrades, our queer comrades, our black comrades, our native comrades. Our comrades who live outside of the imperial core. We must fight against the oppression of the working class. Communism is fighting against that in any means. Understand that going against the social order is the most revolutionary act. Whether, you know, it's something as basic as helping a wife escape with her children from her abusive husband. Something as basic as that is a revolutionary act. While living under this patriarchal society that teaches that women should just stick with such men. Sabotaging your workplace is a revolutionary act that should be encouraged. Committing a guerrilla warfare against your government. Looting and burning your cities. Killing police are revolutionary acts that should be encouraged. In fact, must be done to liberate the worker, to liberate the working class. Within the communist movement, we find all the important work being done in the present day. The communist movement isn't about some far-off ideal, but the immediate communism it produces. It's an active revolt against the present state of things, which is communizing society immediately. Not some theorist in a university considering the world from his armchair. It just simply states the present state of things must go, and then takes action to make it so. So in other words, communism is something we do actively. It is not something you theorize about. It is something you go out and actively do. You actively work to institute communism. It is actively revolting. And once again, this could be something as basic, as simple, as reading communist theory to comrades. And radicalizing, it could be something as basic as radicalizing your workplace, as unionizing your workplace is something that's very fucking important. Every time we set up a union, the closer we are to ending the bourgeoisie order of things. No, unionization in and of itself will never overthrow the bourgeoisie. Because understand, it's still, you know, unions as they currently stand still work within the bourgeoisie order. You know, it still works within capitalism. But it is a stepstone to radicalization, to greater class awareness, which leads to the active overthrow of capitalism. But this state of things should not and cannot be conceived of as only one system or class or one element of the society we live in. The present state of things is not capitalism or gender or race or the state. Rather, it is the totality of liberal society and every system contained therein. As such, the communist movement finds itself in stark contrast with liberalism and gives us a counterpoint to the failed analysis and politics of liberalism. In other words, I'm trying to find the best way to put this. So, it's not just one thing that is oppressing us. Like, it's not just capitalism. It's not just patriarchy. It's just not, racism. It's not just one thing. It is everything. Everything combined is what sickens our society. It is everything combined that oppresses the working class. And liberalism does not recognize this. It is incapable of recognizing this. Liberals see it as one thing. One thing is the root of the sickness, and everything builds off of that. We as communists recognize that it's everything combined, and they just learn to feed into each other. These things already existed. And many of these things were built outside of the other oppressive frameworks. They just learned to interweave. Anyway, liberal analysis reduced oppression to a number of separate but intersecting systems of oppression. This renders the fight against them as separate but allied. There's an anti-racist movement, a feminist movement, and economic justice movement. But these are only allies, not the same movements. This forms the liberal conception of intersectionality. This liberal version of intersectionality presents systems that can be domineering among the oppressed or passive among the privileged. Thus, a white gay man may only ever truly experiences anti-queer oppression, and all other systems are silent to them. In other words, it makes one type... So basically, if you're white and trans, they will make it that the way liberals see it is that the only form of oppression that you really see, that you really understand, is anti-queerness, is the forces of anti-queerness, So that you're focused on trans liberation. Sure, you recognize that, there are anti-racist movements, but maybe there's an economic justice movement, that, there are, gay liberation movements, but because you're a trans woman who may be straight and you're white, you'll voice support for them, but you're not going to do anything to actually, support those movements because... the thing that's oppressing you is the anti-transness, is transphobia. While we as communists, everything is one fight. It all falls under one fight, which is the fight to liberate the proletariat. Understand that there is no difference between, land back movements and economic justice movements and anti-racist movements and, queer liberation movements and the proletariat liberation movement. Understand, we cannot separate these fights. Sure, they may have their own individual issues, certain things that may be unique to theirs, but they all fall under one banner, which is the fight to liberate the proletariat. There is no, this liberal for intersectionality. No, understand what oppresses one oppresses all. If there's even just one form of oppression out there against one type of group, it is that in itself is an oppression against the proletariat. the working class. The working class is oppressed. No matter what, if there's any form of oppression against the working class. And therefore, the communist cares about all these movements. We see them as one and fight for them all. In truth, oppressive systems are more than that. There is no one untouched by a domination of class systems within liberal society. Everyone, from the most powerful capitalist to the lowliest worker, from the domineering patriarch to the uncertain young trans woman, from the controlling asylum administrator to the schizophrenic force-fed medication, from the white gentrifier to a black family pushed out of her family apartment, all experience the control of these systems. No one is left untouched. No one is left untouched. Rather than being systems of passive control, they are an active totalitarian whole. A totality. Oppression is not segregated, my friends. Any oppression infects the whole bunch. This totality encompasses every part of society, dominates every member of society, and alienates everyone and everything contained within. It is inescapable and domineering. Totality is where communist analysis, rather than liberal analysis, must lead us. Understand, oppression against one group creates alienation among the working class. And therefore, we must fight against all forms. We recognize all forms of oppression falls under one broad form of oppression, which is the oppression of the working class. Which is why we must fight to institute the dictatorship of the proletariat, aka communism. We find similar problems in liberal conceptions of identity politics, which see oppression as done to specific identities over classes. This renders the identity as the base rather than the superstructure. What this means is that the liberal conception of liberation is respecting your identity and treating your identity fairly. But even if we do this, our identities would still oppress us because it fails to address the underlying conditions that cause them. To free them, stripping away the domination of a specific system of oppression we experience renders us free from it, becoming equal with these privileges, but this leaves the totality untouched. Liberal politics is ultimately one of reformism, not revolution or abolition. Communist politics provides us with a path forward through abolitionism, not reformism. Gender cannot be reformed to free us. It must be abolished. In other words, liberals just want to make gender more fair. They just want to make race more equal. They just want to make capitalism, you know, a little bit more fair, you know. Unions are good. Understanding that it does not rid of the oppression. We cannot reform gender. We cannot reform race. We cannot reform capitalism. They must be abolished. Completely. Like, we must rid of these things. Anyway, that's honestly probably everything I've got for today's episode. It's a bit of a short one. I am fucking exhausted. I wish I had more energy to do more, but honestly, I feel like I've said everything that can be said. Anyway, that's everything I got for today. I'll try to remember to put in a few links or links in the show notes. If you want to contact me, stuff's in the show notes. Support this show on Patreon. I am looking to move this show from Patreon. I would like to find a better support network, one that does not require me to adhere to such strict liberal terms of service, as I would love to start self-hosting this podcast eventually. That is the main goal, so I can be as revolutionary as I want on this show. But anyway, that's everything I gotta say today. Thank you all for listening, everyone. Have a great day. Peace.